Chapter 2. Who are you married to? That's the question. I think I'll put that back there as the title of this message. Who are you married to? I was in search of another message, and this one is what God put on us. He said, this is more needed tonight than what was needed next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is who are you talking to? This Wednesday is who are you married to? In the search of the other message, we found this one, and God said, the people that will be there tonight will need this message. You all right? God's got good timing, right? I didn't know you was going to be here. Otherwise, I'd have chose about 3 or 4 different other messages. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm glad you're here. But listen to the Word of God. Are y'all ready to jump in? Did I give you enough time to get Genesis chapter 2? No jokes there. I'm just messing with you. All right, let's go to verse 8. We're going to move fast and furious until we get where we need to get to. And the Lord God planted a garden. Is that what y'all are seeing? Aren't you? Look at that. God made a place on earth, right? Made a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So let's stop right there and think. God took a man. God made Adam. He made him in his own image, right? He made a garden. And in that garden, everything was supplied to him. Everything. And he gave Adam an awesome responsibility and calling. Amen? Now listen, I've read the Bible, I've studied the Bible, I understand the Bible. I want you to get this. I'm not against women, I love women. But I'm going to be honest with you, God started with a man. He did, and that's a fact. I don't know why, but that's what he did. He started with a man. And you know what? He formed that man, and he said, this man right here is what I'm forming, and this is what I'm going to work through. You got to understand that. I don't like to do the whole, men versus women thing, because I know women have their place. I know men have their place. But you know what? He made him first. And you know what he said? He said, you are supposed to be the spiritual leader. Now, don't get me mad. Don't get me twisted up in that. But I want you to get this and understand it. Every man, I don't care if your wife has a bigger voice, talks more, feels more comfortable in places to speak, that's great. But when it comes to making spiritual decisions in your household, God considers you the priest. I mean, I'll give you time to walk out if you want to walk out right there on that. But I hate to tell you this is the truth. God expects the husband to be the spiritual leader of the home. He's looking at you. Listen, I've studied this all the way out. It goes all the way into the book of Romans, it's chapter 5, and I'm just going to give it to you real quick before we move on. In Romans chapter 5, he doesn't say, Adam and Eve, they sinned. It says, through one man, sin entered into the world. He didn't even mention Eve. I wanted an honorable mention for her. But he didn't give her one. Okay? He didn't give her one. He said, Adam, it was your responsibility. Now, you can say I'm crazy and wrong, but I do believe that Eve was more of the A type than Adam was. I will get caught up with that. You can meet me outside and talk about it. We'll hash it back and forth. But if you remember, I'm going to get into that next week, who you're talking to. She was having a conversation with the devil, and Adam was standing there. So she might have had a great personality to speak to things in her life, but Adam at some point should have stepped in front. I mean, he should have stepped in front between her and the devil and said, that's enough. It's time for us to go. You good? And so my argument go, Romans chapter 5, through one man's sin entered the world. Right? Through one man's obedience, Christ Jesus, sin was destroyed. Amen? You good? I just want you to see that. But I love what Jesus does. Jesus takes him and forms him and puts him in the garden. Jump over to verse 16. I wasn't going to stay there long in that chapter. I want you to see this. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Whew! Man, I believe God is an abundant God. I believe he's an amazing God. I believe if God makes something, It would make your jaw drop. This is before sin had entered into the world. So I believe when he said, I made a garden and I put a man in it, and three rivers fed in to this garden. Three rivers. You think about three rivers. Tennessee, you talk about, man, the Mississippi, you talk about, man, the Ohio, you talk about these rivers, and man, you would think, man, one of them's good. If you can get some farmland down by the river, you'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? But look at this. They said this garden was fed by three rivers. You know what I mean? And it was beautiful. And man, I guarantee you, when God said, when God said, you can take of anything you want, I bet Adam was sitting there going, man, I'll make apple pie, peach pie, cherry pie, right? Ever trees. I mean, look at that. You know, key lime pie. I don't even know what that is. But I'm just saying, there was a thing when he said, I bet he was just, his jaw was dropping, and he was like, man, all of this is mine? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Ain't that the way it is? Man, God, sometimes, man, you got freedom. I remember when I first got saved, and God said, hey, here you go. And I'm like, wow, all of this. Right? We go to verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Whew. How many? One tree. Man, it seems like a no-brainer. I'll start on the far end of the garden, and I'll stay way over there. I'll start on the east side, the north side, the west side, man, and I'll get so preoccupied. But listen, I guarantee you, every time, man, I could be sitting there with the best man. These apples, all these pears, all these cherries. Oh, man. But I wonder why God said not to. Amen? That's our sin nature. That's our sin nature. You say, well, I don't got it, brother. I don't know what you're talking about. You're a liar. Every kid I know's got it. I tried this little experiment a couple times after I started preaching. I learned, you see, three kids, try it sometimes over here in Awana. Go over there and just set some item somewhere and go to a bunch of little kids. I don't care if they're 3 and 5-year-olds and say, hey, y'all can do whatever you want to tonight, but whatever you do, don't go over there and touch that right there, okay? Don't even look at that over there. And just go somewhere. I guarantee you give them an hour and you'll come back and every one of them kids will be like this. And the knot-headed kid will have it in his hand. And I don't know who's that kid that is, but you know what I'm saying. He'll be some, I didn't know. Y'all seeing it? But that's, so God said that. He said, he gave Adam the commandment. Listen, I want you to get this in your head. Adam, there was no Eve yet. Huh? God gave Adam the commandment before he had created, molded, made, and called. Adam. And Eve ain't even on the scene yet. And God said, here's what I'm telling you. Pass this down to your wife and your children, if you ever have them. Amen? Here's what it is. Here's the set. Here's the rules. And Adam, somewhere along the lines, did not do that. That's a whole other message. But let's get into marriage. I want y'all to see this tonight. Verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. Verse 18, God started working on him a wife before he ever considered needing one. Man, I didn't know who was going to be here tonight. I'm so glad y'all are here. I'm looking out here at this is a good crowd. I started looking at this, I'm thinking, God made Adam. God put Adam to work. God gave him some commandments. And Adam is happy. But then God, listen, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right here. God looked at Adam and said, get to work, son. You got a job for me. I've made you. I've formed you. And I put you in a place. And I'll work on everything you need. Did you hear what I just said? Let me tell you, you worry about what I'm doing in your life, and you focus on me, and I'll take care of who you need or don't need in your life. There's a blueprint early. Listen, I'm trying to give you the principle of first mentions in the Bible. If it's the way it started, that's the way it is. It's a plumb line, and it's supposed to go throughout eternity. So if God started it this way, it's supposed to continue this way. The only thing that messes it up is sin, the devil, us. And I don't know if that's in the right format or the right deal. It could probably be mixed around a couple different times, right? Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Thank you. I'll just amen myself sometimes. Look at this. Verse 18, he said, I want to send him a help mate. A helper. Let's just break it down. A helper. Wife, if you're a wife in here, you might want to make a note right under that. If you're one of them radicals that write in your Bible, I was sent to help. When God made me, designed me to be a wife to my husband, he thought of me to be a help to my husband. Whew. I'm not gonna stay on y'all night. I'm just staying. Just think with me a little bit. If God knew your husband and he knew you and he started thinking about you for your husband, you are the, God, this is good. You are the perfect connection to your husband to help him. Let me make it clear. Not change him. Not fix him. Woo! I might be, man, go start the car, Melissa. We might have to run out the side over here. I can see some faces changing. Y'all are like, I love this. I hate you, brother. No, but just stay with me. You're supposed to come along and be a help to him. You're not supposed to be sitting there, well, when we get married, I know he's going to do some changing. No, you're going to do some helping. Because that's what God's seen. That's what God's seen. I've got a man that I've formed and I've made, and hopefully, listen, here's an important part, that I've saved. And I've got you, and I've made you, and I'm forming you, because I want you to help him, and when I save you, that's where we get mixed up right there, is we're trying to put two people together that ain't got something in common that needs to be in common. Jesus. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Why? I've been preaching this since I've been preaching. Why would you not want to be unequally yoked? Because if you're unequally yoked, the only thing that we have in common is we both know how to sin. You got me? If somebody comes along and they know how to sin real well, and you know Christ and you know how to sin real well, all of a sudden they're going to start pulling in a direction, and they're not going to know how to pull in your direction, so eventually they're going to say, I don't know how to do what you do, and you know how to do what I do, so it's easier if we both go this way. I'm preaching, right? So God's got you in mind. And God, I'm trying to help men and women right here. If you'll get busy focused on Jesus, God will take care of your wife situation. If you're a wife, and man, he's formed you and made you and saved you, if you'll get to focusing on what God wants in your life, he's already got a man for you to come along to be a helpmate for. He's good like that. But you've got to be focused on Jesus to get this lined up. Amen? Y'all good? Watch this. I want to show you something. But he ain't made her. Y'all listen to me. He ain't made her yet, though. Whew. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast. Man, I love reading this. If you're a guy in here, you should love this stuff right here. Formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. What? Come on, just smile every once in a while. Some of y'all act like you've been eating butter beans your whole life. Listen, would that not be the funnest job in the world? What kid wouldn't want that job? Oh, Adam just sat there in the garden eating his, man, I don't know what kind of fruits and stuff he's got. He's got a pile of them sitting over there, and they just bring that, man, that's an elephant. That's got to be an elephant, right? Look at this thing. That's a hippopotamus. I bet him took him 3 days on an ostrich. I bet it said Jesus, God, came down in the cool of the mornings. I bet when some of these things walked out there, like the ostrich, he's looking at God and going, this is. Right? I'd hate to have been there the day that he named spiders. Yeah! Sorry. I just get that. You know what I mean? I don't like spiders. Snakes either, but I think they transformed into something. I'm sorry. I will get into the whole another message. God, that's just got to be the coolest calling in the world. Listen, not everybody's calling's the same. Amen? If you told somebody, hey, God has put it on me to name all the animals. He brings them to me, me naming them. They'd be like, man, that ain't important. Everything's important to God. Amen? Just want you to see that. Listen, some of y'all going to get stuff. God's going to put some stuff. God is a crazy guy. He does stuff that don't make sense sometimes. No, let me change that. God does a lot of stuff that don't make sense all the time. It scares me when he does the stuff that makes sense. All right, go. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. For Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. Man, Adam was naming all these animals, and I wonder if he just started saying, look, the orangutan's got a girlfriend. She ain't handsome, but he's got a girlfriend. And everybody else has got a wife or a girl. I don't. But I'm all right. I got God. And he's operating. He's tending the garden. He's naming. He's operating his calling. And God's got him. I'm preaching. Listen, God's working on it. But you notice God didn't tell him he's working on it. God says, you get busy, stay focused, do what you do, and I'll take care of the rest. Do what I've called you to do, and I'll work out your situations. That's our problem. We want to work out our situations and stop doing what God's called us to do, and we won't move until God does. And God said, you won't, I won't until you move. Get it? Well, God, if you don't give me, if you don't show me, I ain't gonna. Golly, you got to have faith in God that he will. Got to get, in your mind. And listen, God, he's not going to call you something. He's not going to call you to something that you regret and hate. He's going to call you something that you're passionate to. Amen? Listen, God's called me to something. But then he's got to have a helpmate that's going to come in there and love that too. You see that? Now we're all equally yoked. Y'all ready? Watch. Look at verse 20, 21. And the Lord calls, golly bum, men, you liked me a little while ago. We're not going to like me much after this one. Giving you a forewarning. And Adam gave names to all the cattle. No, verse 21, sorry. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Women, remember earlier in the sermon I said he didn't need you to come and change him? God does that. Men, can I tell you something humbly? You got to let God do that. Listen, you got to let God work on you. When you get busy in your calling, you're focused on him, then guess what? God came along and put a deep sleep on him and removed the rib from him. He changed Adam. Listen, I'm preaching. Listen, I want you to get this. Some of you men in here, you're struggling in your marriages. You're struggling with your wives a lot of times because you won't let God change you. You won't let God take any part of you out of you and let it be a part of her and you. It's your identity, and that's who you are, and that's what I do, and you won't let God take any part of who you are and let it be taken. Whew. Adam would have been a fool. I don't want. He'd have been wifeless. He'd had all the animals had part of him. He'd been sitting by himself, single in the garden. It'd been boring. God said, I've worked on a wife. I've got a helpmate for you. I'm in the process of making her. But what I'm going to do is I need you to change too. I need to take, God, I hope y'all get this. I need to take some stuff out of you. So you can complete her and she can help you. Did you notice? I never really thought about this, but he took a rib out. Do you know what ribs do? Ribs protect vital organs. A good wife will protect you. My wife protects me. From who? Me. A lot of times. Kevin, you need to think about this. Look at this. I'm your helpmate. I'm your rib. I'm going to let God. Can I preach a little bit right here? You know what ribs do? Ribs break to protect lungs and heart and liver. A lot of times a woman will take a beating just where you won't be vitally wounded. A lot of times your wife is taking beatings for you and you don't realize it and you let her keep getting beat up because you won't be willing to change. And you're sitting over there wondering what's wrong with her. She's kind of cold and this, but you're still watching the game, eating your meal, watching your show, doing your thing, going on your time, have your money, your account, your kid. This is mine. Praise God. Why don't you let God maybe knock you out and take some of you out of you and help her be the woman that she needs to be for you? Whew. Some of y'all are sitting here going, man, I've been married so long, man. This is for them newlyweds. I've been married for 18 years. I verified that before I come tonight. I had to say that part. We've been together for 20 years. I can't believe that. I'm not that old. No, I'm just kidding. I am. But I realized something. There's been multiple times in my marriage, and some of them in the most recent years, that God's had to knock me out and take some more out of me where I can understand how great she is. Amen? Because I understand, look, oh, I'm preaching, this is me. I don't know if it's going to help you. But as a man, we change. 20, 30, 40, 50, we change. Sometimes I'm like, who are you, guy? Can I tell you who I am? See, I got some guy in here who says, man, you can do that. Something runs loose and I'm thinking, man, I can run and get that. And there, my body says, no. I mean, my mind's going, I'm on my way to get it. My body still ain't moved. And listen, as a man, that's crazy. Because we compete at everything. From this high to how far can you throw it? How far can you kick it? How fast can we run? How big of a church do you got? How many people go? What kind of motor you got? God, come on, help me, God. Everything, right? And to a point where all of a sudden, life starts taking something. So your identity, some of you women could help me out. And we go through identity crisis. So all of a sudden, sometimes we clam up. And we become our own little just our own little person. Because we're trying to figure out who we are. Because men, we don't like to talk about it. And that's all they want to do is say, hey man, preacher. But somewhere along the line, you got to realize your best helpmate, your best friend God designed to put in your life. Say, God, would you put me asleep again? And take a little bit of me out again so I can be better for her. Because she can't be her unless you take out of me what needs to be took out to complete her. Have you noticed in marriage, if you've been married for a long time, have you noticed that all of a sudden somewhere in life you start completing each other's sentences and thoughts? And sometimes you don't even got to say anything about where you're going to go eat or what you're going to do. And then you're just like, I want to go get a taco. Yeah, me too. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And one about to say something, another says it. You know why? Because that's what God does. He molds and makes. You become flesh and flesh, bone and bone. Amen? That's when it's beautiful, right? But you can't be that. As life goes on, if you keep pulling apart, you got to realize God sent that person to help you. Whew. Is that you all right? Let's go a little further. Y'all ready? Watch this. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he woman and brought her unto the man. Whoo, glory, hallelujah, right? Best looking ribs in the world. Sorry. Never mind, that's a whole other message. Y'all ready? Verse 23, I'm going to help some of you people that are newly married or somebody that's thinking about getting married. Look at this, verse 23. And Adam said this, Now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, you shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This relationship is so centered on the church. Christ was the husbandman, the church was the bride. And Adam and Eve were a picture of that. They had to become one. See, when you get saved, you don't just become a Christian, you become part of Christ, and Christ becomes part of you. Amen? So when you get married, you're joined, bone of bone and flesh of flesh. That's hard to tear apart. Should be. Should be. Watch this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I love preaching this to newlyweds. I always call it leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. You know, and I think every time I used to read this, I'm thinking, why does he always mention the husband leaving his mother and father? It should be a warning to both, I think. But you know what? I think it's the best advice there ever was. What happened was, is back when they wrote this, the husband would always leave and join with the wife. Or the wife would always leave and join with the husband. Amen? So she was already leaving her family. You understand? So I want you to understand this. This is some of the best advice you'll ever have. And I don't care if you have to live in the same house, across the street, or on the same block, or wherever. If you can take a rock and hit your kid's house, amen? If you can shout and say, bring me the butter, amen? Any of that stuff. If they live at close, listen, I still want you to hear this. You're supposed to leave, and you're supposed to cleave. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to deal in such a way. And some of you parents need to learn this, and grandparents need to learn this. When they come to you and say, I don't like the way she does this, and she don't cook like, y'all don't need to add anything to that. You need to say, you need to go back over to that house, and you need to work it out. Amen? Get used to her bread, get used to her eggs, get used to her, get used to his, the way he does his clothes. You better get used to it, because you know what? Y'all join this thing, and it's you and them. Guess that? Work it out. Leave and cleave. It's y'all's time, right? Can you give them some good advice on that? Because you know what? I learned this. It took me about 18 years to learn this. It did. I love it when my kids are not home. Amen? I do. You know why? Because I love my wife. I fell in love with my wife. I love my kids. I will fight you over my kids. I will probably kill you over my kids. I love my kids. I love hanging out with my son. He's like a good friend of mine, but I will wear him out. You know what I mean? But let me tell you this, I'm not in love with him like I'm in love with my wife. Because guess what? One day they're going to be gone. Hallelujah. Amen? And guess what? It's just going to be me and her. So we got to build on that. We've got to love one another in that. We can't be in love with the kids so much. That's our identity. Because when they do leave, then we're going to be sitting there and all the stuff's gone that kept us together. Can I give you some more advice on this? I've never seen one couple that didn't love one another and didn't work on their relationship that added anything to their marriage that kept them together. The only thing that keeps married couples together is Jesus and them working on the relationship. What? Jesus and them working on the relationship together. I've heard people say, well, we'll get a new kid, and we'll get this, we'll adopt some, we'll bring somebody in, we'll do this. If we get this edge on the house, we get this. Man, be better. Can I give you this? It'd be better if you burned it all down and got back to living in a tent, eating potty meat and crackers. Because that's when you loved each other the most anyway, right? Because, oh gosh. You all right? Leave and cleave. And some of what I was going to talk about with your adult your mothers and grandmothers, listen to this. They don't need you involved in their marriage. You can love them, you can spoil their kids, but when it comes to marriage advice, the best thing you can do is you're going to have to work that out yourself anyway, because you are. Because your fights ain't our fights. And your marriage ain't our marriage. But I would tell them this all the time, it'd be better if you stick in it. Through thick and thin. Put your back against the wall and love each other if you can. Amen? Y'all good? Let's finish up. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Man, that has got to be the coolest marriage of all time. And God put it together. Why? Because there was a man that God made, and he operated in his calling, and God seen that he needed a wife. Amen? Men, how do you make it work? Get focused totally on God. Sell out to God. Do what you're called to do. Do what you're supposed to do, right? And wait for God to work it out. And if he's worked it out and you've got a wife, sometimes you've got to go reboot the system. God help me. Fix me. Wives, he made you, designed you to help your husband. And I'm about to drop this on you. For every season of y'all's lives. Whew. For every season of y'all's life. You're a helpmate. Man, I didn't even realize this. I mean, just in the last 5 or 6, she is the greatest help to me. I'm serious. I realize, man, without my wife, I'm a mess. I'm serious. She does everything that I don't do. Right? Helpmate. Golly, I could preach for now. Well, you know what a help? You know what a help is? When a help shows up, don't let them do it all. Oh, that's a whole nother message. Has this been a help to you at all? Who are you married to? Who are you married to? Do you need to work on your marriage? You need to ask God. That's the first anesthesia in the whole Bible. God knocked him out, took his rib out, and made a woman out of his rib. Ain't that cool? Man. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, whew, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come and preach this word. I hope it helps marriages. I hope it helps men and women. I hope it helps us understand that, Lord, sometimes we need a reboot in our marriages. We need to understand what marriage is. We understand how it works. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.